Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. My name is Matt Key, and today we're talking about Black Panther. We're talking about Deadpool. We've got some New Mutants news, and we had a little trailer for a little movie called Spider-Man. And we're gonna talk about that, probably. Anyway, sit right there and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Hey, how's everyone doing? I never get that down. I'm never going to get that down. I'm just always going to be bad at it.
There was music this time and everything.
No, there was music. Yeah, well, we didn't have it last time.
Last time we were like, hey.
Are we back on? But like this time, I feel like I always rush it, and I feel like none of my words come out right.
I heard them all.
No. Well,
maybe you should do a little dance with it. I don't know.
Oh, my God. No, that would be worse.
Oh, okay.
Always add dance.
No one would watch the show then.
Zero views.
We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 133. I wrote those numbers last night and was like, 133 episodes. That's
a lot of episodes.
Yeah, like I don't know why I haven't really actually thought about that, but that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. I'm pretty proud of us.
Gwen Stacy'd be dead. The Punisher be introduced.
Oh my God.
Lots of stuff.
We are the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from Midtown High, because we're talking, you know, Spider-Man's the big news. Where we tell you all the news from all the studios, why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Also through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, on Twitter at Marvel News PTN, or at The Popcorn Talk, on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show telling people about our live chat, why can I never say that? Ronnie Roney in the booth will retweet you. Ronnie Roney.
Hey, I have one job, and it's to tweet, baby. I got you guys.
Thanks. Yeah. Don't shuffle the cameras. Don't show our images. Just,
just the audience.
Monitor our Twitter feed for us. Thank you.
I may or may not have my pants on, but that's a different
that
story altogether.
That is too far. That is too far.
Too. I get it.
Comfortable. Just enough information.
It's hot enough. We'll know what Doom wore under that mask or cloak.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm saying it's TMI. Marquia is saying it's... What would that be?
J-E-I?
Just enough information. You're J? Hey, your new name is J. Just enough information. Like I said, my name is Matt Key. At The Matt Key, we're joined by Markeia McCarty at MarkeiaMcCarty.
Yep.
Did I put the emphasis on the right things? Thank you, audience of Ollie. Thank you. That's very sweet. We also have Coyjandro at Coyjandreau.
Music players. Yeah. Every time.
And Ollie's on the couch. Hey, Ollie, yep. Say hi to the fans.
What's up, guys? I just graduated, guys, so I'm like,
what?
Really, yeah. I'm like, sorry, I just wanted to plug that real quick. I'm sorry.
Good plug.
Middle school?
No, Midtown High. Midtown High.
Yeah. So you're a science wizard. Good for you. Good for
there
you.
We go.
No, but for real, what'd you graduate with?
I graduated with my bachelor's cinema, TV, and film.
Ooh.
With a minor in queer studies, so yeah,
that's awesome.
Marvel, I need a job.
I have no idea how old you were until just now. You have one of those faces that might be young or might be like.
I'm 30 years old. I'm 24.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, I've been 30. You're not 30.
Yeah, my first 30-year-old.
Really bad at 28 for a minute there.
Our guest is the wonderful, the knowledgeable April Wallane. Hi, April.
Hello.
Welcome back to our show. Thanks for coming back on.
Good to be back.
Do you want to tell people where they can find you, social media-wise?
Yes, at April Wallane, at all of the various
social media outlets. Yeah. And you have a collection of short stories called
13 Offerings, which you can find on Amazon. And I also do a podcast called One More Drink that can be found on iTunes and all the various social media outlets.
Is that a podcast about whiskey?
It is a podcast about life, the universe, and everything nerdy. So we kind of just go on some days where...
Is there fish involved?
Huh? Some days. You never know.
Right. And thanks for all the fish.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there 42
lots of dolphins
fish involved?
Yes, there are 42 fish that are constantly running around in our ears.
If you don't get that reference, go look it up! Read a book!
Douglas Adams, y'all.
Read all Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. What do you guys, what do you guys say we jump into it? Jeez. Shall we? Shall
Let's
we?
Dive.
Yeah, we had all anonymous or anonymous, all anonymous.
All anonymous.
I wanted to start with Black Panther this week.
Yay!
Excellent place to start.
and I'll tell you. So look, the Deadpool news is fun. It's a villain, and there's some cool ramifications to it. But if this Black Panther news is true, that's
then we can't bury the lead.
No, that's potentially bigger news.
Yeah,
I'll
that's huge. That's That's huge. So there is so MCU Exchange discovered this on IMDb. Crystal Michelle is listed as the stunt double as a stunt double in Avengers Infinity War, the upcoming. She is the stunt double for Letitia Wright, mm-hmm. who plays
Shuri.
You didn't even let me finish.
Yeah,
love
yeah,
it.
Because I know what you're going to say.
She's so excited.
No, I know. I'm excited to see Markeia excited. So Markeia, tell us why this
okay,
is awesome.
Okay, so that probably means that we have Thanos' Black Order that's going to happen in uh-huh. Infinity War, if only for the very fact that Black Dwarf... okay, so he's one of Thanos' homies.
You're starting to sound like me, where you're just like, yeah. there's too much information.
Just like the little bit. Okay, uh-huh. So Black Dwarf, who's sent to collect Infinity Gems, Infinity Stones, goes to Wakanda because he thinks that's a good idea. And then Black Panther and Shuri have to show him mm-hmm. how bad of an idea that is.
Yeah.
That you don't come for Wakanda, Wakanda comes for you.
Yes.
So that's really huge.
Well, with it being all mm-hmm. impenetrable and whatnot. Impenetrable?
Yes. Impenetrable.
Impenetrable.
Yeah, he's supposed to have unbreakable skin and blah, blah, blah. So, he hasn't gone up against Shuri.
Yeah, Black Dwarf is basically Space Hulk. That's how I always describe him.
Yeah.
Like, he's Space
and
Hulk.
He has a very fashionable sash. So,
does
you know,
he?
It's like,
I do not
like,
remember.
It's like a sash with like a purple... It looks like a reflecting disc.
I do
Sashes
not
are coming
remember
back.
This at all. Sash
with
oh,
a reflecting
funny.
Disc.
And the comic that you're referencing is from Jonathan Hickman's Infinity.
Yeah.
So, which is where the Black Order, a.k.a. the Cole Obsidian, was first appeared. And it gave us the Ebony Maw, who was able to talk Doctor Strange into betraying all of the Avengers.
Ooh.
So he's one of my favorite characters.
Yes. We also get a Super Giant and her... Untimely demise.
Ooh.
It involves a bulldog.
Oh!
Doctor Strange, bulldog, Brittany, we got the whole checklist.
Yep, you got the whole checklist. If any of those three are in it, I'm on.
There it is.
If all three are in, just...
It's like your wedding.
Just shoot. It's like, I'm done. I'm done at that point. So Shuri is the sister to... Like, we've talked about it before, but maybe this is someone's first episode.
Oh,
so
welcome.
Shuri is... Black Panther's sister.
Yes.
And she goes on to become the Black Panther at some point.
Yes, she does.
Do you want to talk about any of that?
Like, real quick?
Yeah, just
okay.
Give us, like, the 30-second rundown. Go!
All right. So, Shuri is an extreme badass. She has always known that she was going to be Black Panther, and it wasn't a thing like she was going to overthrow her brother. She just knew that mantle was naturally hers. Through a course of events that we don't have time to get into, she goes through the rituals, you know, takes the heart-shaped herb and everything to become Black Panther, and she faces Bast, the Panther God, and he goes, no, you're too arrogant. I'm not going to give you the mantle. And she goes, well, I'm taking it anyway. So, and eventually she gets that blessing, but that's what Shuri is.
And then Black Panther goes on to become the leader of what's their dead world called? Their Deadlands or whatever. Oh. God, I cannot remember that. I'm blanking on it. I love what it is, too. Anyway, all right, well... I'm an idiot.
No,
can't remember either.
I can't. Yeah. It's not even.
No, but you're not an idiot. You're like I'm the idiot.
No
like,
one's an idiot.
I'm an idiot. It's okay.
Okay, we're all
just
idiots.
In a process.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, we're excited about that. I think that would be really cool, and I think it would be great to have Black Panther and Shuri.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially because it seems like they have her younger. Well, Letitia Wright. She's under 20, right?
Wait, is she really?
Maybe she's like 20. I'd have to someone in the chat room Google that. Yeah, the actual actress. I mean, she's so fierce.
Yeah. She's 23.
Ferocious. Okay. 23? Okay, then. Yeah, no, she's perfect.
Makes me question what
she's
I'm doing
perfect.
With my life.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you hit that age in like NFL stars you're younger than you and you're like, well, that was a good run.
Path I didn't
take. She looked very young too. But she's 1993, so
Is that a good year?
I'm 83.
That was a great year for middle school.
It was a great year to be born.
Oh my god. All right, I'm just gonna admit to everyone, it's gonna bother me that I cannot think of what Black Panther was doing while Shuri was Black Panther. It's going to bother me.
I believe he was in a coma.
But like
he was out of commission.
Yeah.
He was out of commission, but he eventually took over. Like while she was
like
still Black Panther,
back.
He came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and was
I think
like,
he
cool.
Was
I'm just going
to
go watch over like the Deadlands or something like that. I can't remember what they're
I think
called.
It was something like diplomatic. Wasn't he doing something like?
It was either diplomatic. I feel like he was in a coma, but he went
he's out
of comas.
Yeah, he's been
you know?
Busy.
It could be any number
it's
of colors.
It's
kind of
like Tuxedo Panthery. Mask in that way.
All right, let's move on to Deadpool. Unless there's anything else, let's move on to Deadpool. We good?
Yeah.
You don't want it? No? All right.
Yeah.
We're trying to look it up for you guys. Go, but all right.
Deadpool casts Jack Kesey. Is that the name? Jack Kesey? Jack Kesey? In the role of the villain.
Yeah. A guy who is known for playing bad guys.
Is he? I'm not.
Have you seen
him,
the other things that he's been in? He pretty much plays like, you know, the. I can't remember the names of the movies, but I looked them all up, and he's all that, you know, that guy that's falling around the main character, you know, that's going to beat the hell out of somebody. So he's just that guy.
So he's like Billy Zane in Back to the Future.
Yes. He's just going to kick everybody's
butt. If only Billy Zane is in Zoolander.
Listen to your friend Billy Zane.
He's a cool guy.
Is this the guy? Are we showing the guy? Is this the guy?
Yeah, you'd recognize him from a few different things.
I do not recognize him.
He always looks like he's going to kick somebody's butt. So I think it's a great casting.
Yeah, he looks like a black Tom Cassidy. I could see that.
I just hope he does
Tom
a really...
Tom Cassidy is so cool. He's such a good character.
I just hope he does a really good Irish accent.
Let me get the news out real quick, sir.
I'll be over here.
So this came from Deadline. He'll be going up against Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool 2. There's no confirmation of who he is, but sources close to the studio are hinting at him being the X-Men villain Black Tom Cassidy. Now you can go, Cliff.
Black Tom Cassidy is from, like, the original Joe Kelly run. Basically, the first full run of Deadpool, Black Tom Cassidy is a character that got destroyed and then infected with this crazy organic virus that was eating him away, and he's, like... psionic. He's got really weird crazy powers. He's also like super malicious. He kills people for fun. He's this very aggressively evil character, and it's fun because like Deadpool is crazy hijinks and wackiness, and then Black Tom Cassidy is just pure evil, so those two playing off each other is gonna be so much fun. And this is a character that like needs to be corrupt and really bad. So to follow up the first movie that was like largely lighthearted and good origin story, like you need escalation, you need a reason for Cable, so Black Tom Cassidy is a really good way to go. I wanted Conor McGregor for Black Tom Cassidy for a while because like the accent is so important. Like as important of the character. Like he needs to be distinctly Irish and needs to have a very certain swag and flavor. So if this guy looked great, if he can do an Irish accent and have the swag of Black Tom Cassidy, we'll be golden. I'm just excited they went that direction because Blind Al was in that first run. Weasel's important in that first run, but I didn't know what villain they'd do to follow up. So this seems to be going directly down the path of the Joe Kelly run, which everyone should read. Joe Majura art. I mean, McGinnis art. It's gorgeous. It's from like 1997.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
It's such a fun run, and the character's great. And he ties into so many characters. He's related to Siren. He's related to Banshee. So Siren is actually a love interest in the beginning of this run, and he is in love with Siren. Deadpool's in love with Siren, and he can't like fully commit to killing this guy because Siren won't let him.
Yeah.
There's so much fun in family drama like the X-Men should be if you use characters that are canon and actually in it, not making them up for some show that looks like a CW thing.
I wonder what he could be talking about.
Wow. Bring it back.
I'm just excited. Here,
he's very bitter against the gifted.
I didn't say it. I just said something should follow continuity. So I'm excited that they're using a character that's actually from Deadpool as opposed to inventing one.
Nice.
Fox, I know that you're watching this. Not all of us agree with Cole's comments. Some of us are actually excited for the gifted. Myself included. So
thanks, Fox Movie Division, for reading comics.
Oh, you're an idiot. All right. So Black Tom Cassidy, just to give you a quick primer on who he is, his mutant ability is that he can create like concussive blasts, but only through objects that are made of wood. So he carries around.
I thought it was like plants.
It evolves. So, like, that's a secondary thing.
Because I was just picturing him like walking around with a house plant, like, you don't know what I'm going to do with this.
Well, that's why he would have a shillelagh, right? It's basically a giant wooden club.
So, he just sounds to me like Connor. Like, Connor, actor, we don't know, but like Colin Farrell would have been great. Like, I wanted someone so Irish.
This guy looks good. I mean, we don't even know if it is Black Tom.
He could be. I don't know. I was trying to look up and see if he was Irish. I couldn't find any information. So I was looking on IMDb. So I guess they just don't have a listed.
He might be like 1/12 Irish.
If he could just do a good accent, I'm sure it'll be fine.
So his secondary mutation is that he basically kind of becomes Swamp Thing, kind of Man Man, kind of like. he kind of can control plant life, and he is himself like a plant-like physiology. Okay, like, so it's really kind of weird.
He's poison ivy?
Yeah, I kept thinking poison ivy, but I'm like, Swamp Thing's probably a little closer.
His physiology actually is plant-like. So yeah. Where poison ivy is, I'm a human who can control plants and understands them, he is... I am actually a plant.
Yeah.
And I can, like, infect other plants to be, like, extensions of my body. So it's like, oh, I'm going to go outside and infect that tree. Now that tree is kind of like an arm.
So invest in a lot of weed killers.
Yeah. Yeah, there yes, we go. Yes, yes, yes.
A giant truck. Irish Groot.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But that's, again, that's a secondary mutation. Maybe he's actually chasing that in this film. He's like, I want to mutate more.
Well, he gets, like, infected with a thing that's, like, eating him away. Yeah. And he actually loses a hand, chops off his own hand, and puts Deadpool's hand on him for Deadpool's healing factor. And that corrupts him. And Deadpool comics are crazy.
Yeah, they're crazy.
You don't say. Really?
So so you mentioned the Siren romance. I'm excited to see if they do something with that.
That'd be awesome.
But... Black Tom Cassidy is like super duper BFF with Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
Do any of you think that we're going to see Juggernaut in this movie?
Ironically, the actor Jack Casey was in a movie named Juggernaut, unrelated.
So there's Koi's answer. Marquise, what do you think?
I don't see why he would be needed unless the...
Because Juggernaut is always needed.
Is he always needed?
He's always needed.
I mean...
Well, it seems like he could kind of stand on his own 2 feet. He wouldn't necessarily need, you know, his muscle man, you know, Jim of Sidorak... Holden guy right there behind him.
I love you for knowing
Deadpool
that.
Doesn't really need people. He just kind of acquires them, really. Like, he gets, like, a group of people together that are just all insane. So, yeah. I'm thinking... Yeah.
I would just love... So, we've got Cable and we've got Deadpool. Mm-hmm. We got that team up.
And then we have Black Tom and Juggernaut, is what you're saying?
Yeah. And, like, maybe Black Tom comes with Siren. She's in the background and she starts off fighting them, but then mm-hmm. she sees that Black Tom is actually manipulating her in any way, and they follow the comics, and... Ooh. Deadpool's like, ooh, we in love.
Well, because the first movie had so much continuity to tie up to make an origin movie. This movie could literally follow a couple comic arcs and not have too much convoluted story, and the comic arcs work for now. Like, this run would be great. So I think Siren, Juggernaut would be all fun. All right.
I'm just saying it would be awesome to see Colossus take on Juggernaut.
That would be pretty cool.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
And I'd like to watch that.
You can say more. Not? Do you have more that you want to say?
No.
No?
No.
No?
That's his one moment. He's like, I need to see that. Here's my money.
All right.
Yeah, but we want to see Negasonic again, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. She's listed in there. There's a lot of people listed for this movie already. I mean, do you think Juggernaut might take away?
I would have her go up against Juggernaut.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
That would be
awesome.
That would be
fun,
too.
Like, her, running at him and him, like, running her over but still blowing up in the air. Wow.
Yeah.
I just hope
he's getting beaten by a girl.
He'd be so mad about that.
Oh, yeah. King Marco.
He would be angry about that. He's such a jerk.
Yeah.
And if they start building like a shared universe from Deadpool, because that's their money franchise. Like, if they introduce Juggernaut here and then tie that into New Mutants, tie that into the Phoenix movie, like, start planting the seeds.
If they have Siren in this movie, then she joins X-Force.
That's what I'd do.
Oh.
Literally start, so you know Deadpool 2 is going to make $1 billion. Like, you know it's going to make money. What better way to implant seeds of your actual X-Men movies than sprinkle them into a movie that allows for that? Like, why not? Yeah. So, hopefully.
But do you think they'll actually start sharing actors, or...?
I think so. I think they're going to have that 9-movie contract like Marvel does. I think they need to. Because
they need to. I just don't know if they're going to, because of the ratings. Like, they're so weird about... You know, they're like, okay, so Deadpool is definitely rated R. These other ones are definitely PG-13, and they don't... I don't know if they want them to cross, but we'll see what happens. I would like to see it.
Well, they reference McAvoy and
they do, like, but it was kind of like a joke, though, like, because Deadpool can do that, but I don't know if it's necessary.
I think that's the new bar. I think Deadpool's going to be the new standard.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would love to see them in a Deadpool. I would love to see...
We got to move on, but finish your thought.
I would just love to see... God, now you're rushing me. Sorry.
I'm sorry. No.
I'd love to see McAvoy and Ryan Reynolds, like, in the same scene, just doing something together, because they're both hilarious.
All right. I am personally excited to talk about The New Mutants being a full-fledged horror movie.
Yes.
That just came out. That news broke last week.
I mean, they're obviously going to do Demon Bear, right? I mean,
they have to.
So Josh Boone.
They're going to do a horror. There's no costumes. There's no supervillains. It's going to be
because that means it would be like a psychological horror, then, right?
Yeah,
like,
but it would all be. He's an actual manifestation, but it all happens in that, like, alternate dimension, and then you've got, like,
Oh, I wonder what they would do with, like, the nurse and the doctor. Would they go there?
I hope so. All right, so let me read you this quote. Josh Boone told... we're all so excited about this. Josh Boone told EW, Entertainment Weekly, "We are making a full-fledged horror movie set within the X-Men universe. There are no costumes. There are no supervillains. We're trying to do something very, very different." That's the emphasis. It was him. I was just dramatically interpreting it. I love this.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that I didn't know how much I wanted this to be a horror movie until I read that quote. And then I was like, huh, all right, well, that's an interesting take. But, I mean, I guess they've got a werewolf, and I guess they've got a witch, and I guess they have a warlock that's a sentient techno-organic vibe. Oh, my God. This is a horror franchise already. Yeah. Like,
seems almost like Universal Monsters, like, you know, like meets
X-Men. I don't think the warlock is part of Demon Bear, though.
No, he's not. Well, no, but he comes in soon after.
Yeah.
And he listed.
They could fit him in.
My guess is he comes in at the end. That's my guess, because they list him as someone that is going to be cast and stuff like that. My guess is that he's maybe present in the beginning and then kind of disappears, doesn't actually play a big part. I don't know.
And then, do Ex Machina.
yeah, he comes in, he's like, I will take care of Demon Bear. So,
I will stab Amara.
Yeah, so Demon Bear, let's just cover that real quick since we brought it up. And I think, and that was another one of the first thoughts I had was, oh my God, Demon Bear. Like, they're... like the animatic that was released, what was that, like 6-7 months ago?
Yeah.
That showed Demon Bear? Oh, like that leaked animatic? Right. I was like, oh my God, this might actually be true.
Mm.
So, and this, so the storyline there is that Danny Moonstar, aka Mirage, her power is that she could, like, she can tap into Ollie's brain and be like, oh my God, he's afraid of spiders.
Oh.
So here's a spider to fight. And, like, she can psychically generate like an actual giant spider. And then you're like, oh, I gotta fight it. So that's her power. And she starts kind of lashing out at all of her friends, and they all start having these nightmarish visions. Mm-hmm. And then this Demon Bear starts coming and attacking, and it is the the mutation of her two parents. Like,
yeah,
a demonic mutation, like, into a bear, and then the bear is attacking. It's
like a spirit animal, because it's because she's very based in
Native American
mythology and spirituality. Yeah,
First Nation. Yes.
And then it's also like it's a guilt thing also, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. she couldn't save her parents, kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of therapy that needs to be had.
Plus stuff wrapped up in this demon bear.
There's a lot, and it's like
he's huge. I mean, think of like with Legion, with like mm-hmm, that ancient being. Like, mm-hmm. think of that when you think of Demon Bear.
Yeah, he is a giant demonic bear that is the mutant coalescence of her mom and dad attacking her, and then she finds that out.
Yeah, so instead of having like a real like supervillain like they're mm-hmm. talking about, it's basically them all kind of just fighting themselves and their own fears.
That's what it sounds like. Like they're all going to be fighting themselves and their own fears in a psychiatric mutant ward where they're all trying to teach these kids whose mutant powers have just emerged how to use their mutant powers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good way to deal with the world that hates and fears them, like the comics. Also, Bex Wolfie in the live chat said Fox did a horror comic movie already. It's called Fantastic Four.
Well done. Well done.
Burn. Because we loved X, it's real, real.
Sick burn.
So, anyway, if you're not excited about New Mutants being a horror film, let us know and we'll tell you why you're wrong. Just kidding. You're not wrong. You are allowed your opinions. All right. So, we have some casting news also for this. Sunspot has been, well, not cast, rumored to be cast.
Rumored.
According to Entertainment Weekly, again, a source close to Josh Boone says that Henry Zaga, 13 Reasons Why, and Teen Wolf, is most likely going to be cast as Sunspot. And the actor is Brazilian, like the original Sunspot character. At least that's what is said in the comicbook.com report. Yeah.
Which is cool that they're going with someone from the same culture. I would prefer it if they did more of the source material, because you know, Roberto da Costa, he is Afro-Latino,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, I mean, the reason why he even discovers his powers in the first place is that he's involved in a soccer game,
mm-hmm.
and some lighter-skinned Brazilians are calling him half-breed, and it's mm-hmm. like very racially tensioned, and from that, you know, like his powers like
emerges,
so it's you know, this. I when I see Henry Zaga, I don't think Afro-Latino. Obviously Brazilian, so, you know, there's that. But I just,
With New Mutants, I thought they were going to try for more like, you know, outsiders, diversity stuff. You know, the Afro-Latino population is a very huge part of Brazilian. There's a lot of tensions and stuff there. I thought it would have been a really good choice to have someone like a different casting. Then I saw this on Twitter. Is Michel Gomez. He's from 3%. And if you haven't seen that on Netflix, it's 3%? Amazing. It's like a Hunger Games-esque. It's Hunger Games-esque. It's like end of the world. 3% of the people that come into this certain trial will then be able to basically go to the island. Or, you know, the island.
Is it a good island or a bad island?
It's like the upper class, right?
Yeah, it's like the elite, and it's all subtitled, and I believe they're all Brazilian.
Yeah,
and there are so many different types there, and there's such diversity, and the acting is stellar. Awesome. And it's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, just check it out. If you're not somebody else in it by presence, like, oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah. So he is Brazilian, but he's not like, what would that be like? Culturally, like, he is culturally, but not ethnically or
yeah, like, just like how
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to understand. So
no, it's like you'll have a culture and then you'll have ethnicity within that culture, and like there can be tensions and stuff along with that. Like, someone can be American and born in America, and then like with their ethnicity they're also African American, or they're also Latino American, you know, that kind of thing. And then it's like there's culture, and then there's ethnicity, and then there's this whole melting pot thing. It's just there's different experiences depending on depending on shades.
And does does that create the origin of the powers you're saying for this particular character?
That's how he manifests them in the original source. It's just like a
because he's being picked he's on being, for he's his,
being,
his
he's
race.
Being picked on. His he's being called a half breed and which, stuff. Which it's makes, not. It's not cool.
Yeah.
To go on a serious note, this is Ronnie in the booth here. I went to the Afro-Latino Festival in New York when I was living in New York, and it is very much that experience where there are different registers of where people feel and the discrimination here and there. So you make a good point, but I think this actor might do well just because he comes from the 13 reason, you know, demographic. But you do raise a good point, though, Mark.
Yeah, that's something I've never considered. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him in 13 Reasons Why. I'm not saying anything about his acting ability.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm just saying that this seemed like a really good opportunity to try something
different. Go a different direction.
Yeah. But, you know, this actor is very solid.
Yeah.
And everything like that. So, yeah. And besides, this is rumored, but it's probably true.
I mean, a lot of the other
pop
rumors
up
about this.
Yeah, next second.
Yeah. And when you think of Days of Future Past, they had Adam Santo, and he's a Mexican actor, and he was very attractive. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
well, they're all very attractive.
They're all very.
Yeah, this guy's dreamy. Like, I'm getting, I'm lost in his eyes just looking at him.
I better put my pants on back.
Oh,
come on.
No.
That is just enough
information. Jay.
Too comfortable. Jay. Too comfortable.
Boy, I love this show.
All right, so let's move on. Is there anything else that we wanted to say about this possible casting or who Sunspot is or anything before we move on?
Sunspot's like really important. Like, Sunspot goes on to lead an Avengers team. Sunspot is like a huge part of the comic, so I think casting an actor, no matter who they end up casting, if the rumor's true or not, they need to have someone that is a strong enough actor to carry potentially his own team, and that has enough of a following to bring audiences to it.
Yeah.
So I think that no matter who they cast, I think they need to have someone that's a strong actor, someone that has a following, someone that's the right age, and someone that feels the part. So whoever, I don't know who they will land on, but I think Sunspot's really important for a lot of reasons, so I'm excited to bet that he's involved.
Yeah,
I think they get that with Maisie Williams, though. I'm there for her.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Maisie,
I want to see Aria with powers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Maisie Williams, Anya Taylor-Joy. So far, the casting has been great.
Yeah.
So, speaking of great, Rosario Dawson is in this movie as Dr. Cecilia Reyes.
Oh, she's in talks.
We got another.
Oh, she's
in talks for it. So it's not totally.
Well, now I don't want to go see this movie. Never mind.
Another actor crossing characters.
Yeah.
This movie sounds terrible if she's not in it.
I do have another possibility that they could go with, and I kind of wish that they would. Gina Torres. Ooh, oh, Tina Torres would be amazing. She would be good. I mean, if Rosario Dawson's like, you know what? I'm cool with being the Nick Fury of the...
Yeah, I'm cool with Netflix Nick Fury.
Yeah. Although I'm cool with her being... She can be Dr. Rhea. She'd knock you out of the park.
You know what? Look. Rosario Dawson could play Doctor Strange, and I would still love it, so...
So what we're saying is she's very good at playing a doctor in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Whether it's Dr. Reyes, Night Nurse, or Doctor Strange.
As long as it's a doctor, she's got it.
As long as he's a physician...
She's got out her PhD, and we're good with her.
So according to Hollywood Reporter, she would be playing, if she gets it, if she gets it, Dawson will play Dr. Cecilia Reyes, a medical doctor who has the ability to generate a protective biofield around herself. The character assumes a mentor role for the group of fledgling heroes. So Dr. Cecilia Reyes has never out and out been in the New Mutants team. She was typically just seen with the X-Men. She's like a late 90s creation.
Utopia?
I think she was in Utopia. I think she worked with, what was it, a dude who always wore white, Dr. Nemesis. I think she was part of his team, maybe.
Okay.
She has the ability to create the force fields, so she's mostly a defensive character, but she does eventually learn how to make the fields work in a more offensive way by, like, pushing more of them towards her fists and feet and stuff like that. So I think at some point she actually even learns how to sort of, like, extend it away from her, sort of, like, almost like Invisible Woman, like... Punch Ollie and then
like a retractable arm.
Poor Ollie's afraid of spiders and getting punched by invisible force.
Ooh, yeah, you poor thing.
Yeah. Well, welcome to adulthood, graduate.
That's what you get for being stuck in his line of sight.
I know, right?
Very violent episode for you.
Very violent.
Yeah, and Rosario Dawson.
I was born when Matt was in middle school.
Marvel movie. That's why. Horror edition.
I actually don't care about my age. I think I age well.
More power.
Rosario Dawson will finally get to play a character with some powers. So I know. I'm sure she's got to be excited about that.
I'm sure that's why she's
because she's always been the character that's just like, well, I guess I'm just going to fix everybody up. And,
But that Gina Torres, though.
Yeah, that Gina Torres, though.
Yeah. I'd love to see her with some powers for something.
Yeah. Finally, still on New Mutants, we've got... Two stars being eyed for Mirage. This is according to Omega Underground. This is total rumor, but the site's sources have said that actresses Blue Hunt and True O'Brien, Blue from the originals, True from Days of Our Lives, are in the mix for Mirage, and they are apparently leaning towards Hunt. So I've never seen Days of Our Lives or the originals, so I don't know anything about them.
but I think Blue is part... Native American.
I think both of them are.
Both of them are?
Yeah,
I was trying to look into both of their backgrounds, and I only got hers. But the other girl, her last name is O'Brien, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
From what I understand, both of them are Native American. So.
Okay.
Anyway, anything that you guys want to add about that? I mean, Mirage, I think, is a very important character. She's going to have to be able to handle, like, just devastating fear and like PTSD.
I haven't seen either of those either.
I don't know about the actress, so I just
they're
know.
Both very pretty.
Yeah. They both look like they could be a Moonstar. So yeah. Mirage. All right, let's move on to Dark Phoenix with X-Men franchise producer Hutch Parker talking to Screen Rant. Said can't really speak to anything specifically, but I think the challenges offered by all the films we've mentioned is very. We're aware of the challenge that those movies pose and what sorts of demands of us as storytellers mining again one of the great cosmic runs in the Dark Phoenix saga. So this is him talking about how important it is to get the Dark Phoenix right, but how they also have to be different with it because... Yeah.
But do they mean different with what they've already done with that character cinematically, or are they talking about like different from the actual comic books?
I would say that all the producers over at Fox that are working on the X-Men do their best to tap dance around the minefield that is The Last Stand and having to acknowledge it in any capacity as being theirs. It's like the one giant mistake that they made.
It's kind of like Alien Resurrection.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that movie doesn't exist. That movie doesn't exist.
They had a chance to erase it and they didn't.
They did not. I haven't seen... anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
Is there Alien 3?
I'm there learning how go. To not derail the conversation.
Whole other discussion about things from space.
Yeah. Yes. So he says, our hope and expectation is to try and do something that feels different, that takes the audience into a different tone in a different sense of cinematic style that is appropriately suited to the story we're telling. So I'm trying to answer your question without giving anything away. And I don't know that he gave us too much. So, yeah, anyway, they're trying to be inventive and creative with Dark Phoenix and tell it in a different way. I think the reason that I pulled the quote is because he said, oh, what was it? Cinematic style that is appropriately suited to the story we're telling.
Space?
Yeah.
That's what I hear. I hear some space.
That's what space. I'm hoping. I'm legit hoping uh-huh. that we get X-Men in space and we mm-hmm. get the Shi'ar coming down Shi'ar. To be like,
guys.
So this is dangerous.
Maybe cut it out.
Let's not blow up an entire solar system, please. And then she goes and does it, and yeah. So that's what I'm hoping for. We'll see.
I think that this could be their opportunity to have an X-Men movie. Because the last one felt... The biggest problem with Apocalypse was the stakes were meant to be high, but never felt high. Like, they were just...
That's a very good way to put
it. Like, they cut to stuff and be like, and destruction! And be like, I'm sleepy.
I only made it halfway through that one.
But then Magneto's in a metal...
Stuff just happens.
Cone of emotion.
Yeah. So
if you go to space, you escape the cone of emotion. Yes. You escape the faux destruction. Yeah. And you can actually have stakes.
Yeah,
you know, real stakes.
Actual character stakes. I think, here's what I think is going on. I think they have finally, it's the difference between knowing 3X structure and writing and being able to actually write it. I think that they know, we should have different styles for these movies and we should, this is how we should approach this movie and stuff like that. I think Deadpool and Logan has finally taught them how to actually do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Right? So like, mm-hmm. I feel like this is them saying, oh, now we know how to do, like, how to make this its own thing and how to be different and how to actually kind of play with the comic books and bring those in the movie without, but still do our own thing. Like, mm-hmm. I think they finally know how to do that.
The two movies that focused on character had characters in them.
Yeah. So I think that's what they're trying to say, is that they're going to try to base their cinematic style around the emotional core of the story and the character and what they're dealing
with. The reason, and this is a tangent that makes sense at the end, the reason the Fast and Furious movies make sense is because even though they base their action set pieces, they write the movie around action set pieces, you can tell. They're like, we want to have a sub in Antarctica. Like, you know, mm-hmm. or
how do we get them there?
And how do we get them there? But you've had 7 movies of establishing the characters, so mm-hmm. you're invested in the characters, so when The Rock pushes a missile, you care.
You're
so,
like, sure, Rock, sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So you need to have the found... Yeah, like, I want to know you're okay.
I don't watch them either. I want to know. I know
it'll change your life.
So
the Carvengers matter because you've established these characters for 8 movies. You can't have an X-Men movie matter if you keep rebooting it and you keep not investing in the characters in the comics. So you can't have these giant set pieces because you don't care. Yep. Deadpool and Logan work, and if we get, that's why I want the Deadpool verse to start branching out. If this movie goes to space, invest time, invest in character, and we already like space movies, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, you also look at Deadpool and Logan. It's like, you know, you have one central character that you are around, and then you introduce your other characters. It's not just like a bunch of the X-Men movies, which I love the X-Men, but they're just like, here's a whole bunch of X-Men. It's like, okay, wait, which one are we following? Who do we actually care about? We see all these stakes. What's going on? I don't understand who I'm supposed to be watching here. And then in the end, you're just like, they're like, yay, we all pulled together. And you're like, what just happened? That's a problem that seems to crop up a lot with the group movies and why the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like with the Avengers and everything, have done well because they started with individual characters and then brought them together.
You already know these ones. She's the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, do they?
I don't feel like they have built up Jean Grey. Not enough for this movie. I'm a little bit hesitant with Sophie Turner.
So am I.
Just because it's like, this is huge. This is big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I only know her from Game of Thrones. And I only know her from that one particular character. And that one particular character sure has shades of Jean Grey, but not enough for, it doesn't have Phoenix in it.
Yeah.
You know, even when she was at her most.
Other side.
Even that's when she was at her most ferocious in Game of Thrones, that doesn't even come close to Phoenix. Yeah. So I'm a
and
little.
It's like a whole different character you're portraying. Like, these are two characters you have to go.
I don't know her filmography beyond.
That's all I know is of her as Game of Thrones too. Yeah,
that's why I was kind of like
Netflix stuff.
If you invest in the Scott and Jean relationship before Space, and you love these two characters, and you have like you know the other X Men be there, but you focus on them, you care when Jean turns dark. You care about that, and then you can have Scott's father in space. You can have the fish out of water story of these kids in space. Mm-hmm. Like you need to be invested in the X Men to have an X Men movie, and we haven't in years.
See what what I feel like they should do with this movie is do like Phoenix with Hellfire Club. They go after her.
Yeah.
Scott and the X-Men go to save her, all that stuff. And then they end up awakening the Phoenix in her in a bad way.
Yeah.
And then the next movie is Dark Phoenix. And then it's like you've
but
built
they already had that in the last one.
Yeah,
she was
they
like,
try
you
to
that they're
going to
shove it all.
It's like they're confusing the show of strength and the show of power for character development. Yeah. That's what they're confusing.
Exactly.
That's not character development.
No. Yeah.
That isn't making me cry for little Jean that just couldn't control, you know, keeping other people's thoughts out of her head.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't really care what she's doing while Phoenix has taken over her body. You're
exactly.
You're like, oh, no, Jean's
like,
gone out of
she's
control.
Got
it's like,
cool
that's not Jean. Jean's like a, I mean, her whole power is like, has to do with the mind. Like, she's locked inside of the Phoenix, essentially. Like, you should care that she's locked inside of her own mind and this fierce creature is trying to destroy the world. Like, you should care about that.
I mean, like, think of how much you cared when you saw Logan and then when you saw X-24 and how extremely different that was. And you felt that viscerally. It's like, that's what you should have.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could do it. I'm hesitant.
And I feel
and
like
then the
that's...
Storm Solo movie.
Yeah,
I will keep on putting that out into the universe.
Please see Storm. I want to see Storm. Actual Storm. Like, her doing what Storm does and not just being like a, random background character. Like, oh, look, she created lightning. What a what a badass. She's fantastic.
She's had so
like,
many
ominous
moments.
Yes. What happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
Yeah.
The same thing that happens to everything else.
Did she say anything else in that movie? Because I can't remember.
No.
I think there were some deleted scenes with the weird accent.
It was something like, I don't know. I'm a mom.
All right, let's move
Phoenix.
On.
Sorry.
Let's move on to the Defenders real quick. So this I found this interesting. Sigourney Weaver calls her character a Renaissance woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she's playing a character named Alexandra. Speaking with Nerdist, she said, I do think she, Alexandra, is a Renaissance woman. I think, yes, she has to do these things. And by things, she means like kill people and try to take over the world.
Yeah.
She has to do these things, but she loves life. She loves culture. It's one of the most interesting women characters I've ever read.
Sigourney Weaver said the character in The Defenders is one of the most interesting characters she's ever
played.
Nice.
She's played a demon god.
I think she's Mephisto.
I think that'd be awesome.
I think so. They're going to be like, they defeat her and everything. She's going to be like, oh, yeah, it's cool. I see the error of my ways. Oh, this is so bad. I'm going to help you from here on out. And then behind the scenes, she's
that'd be rad. I was thinking because I read something else on there that they said that she wasn't that her character wasn't a previous character, but I don't know if they're just talking about the name that they've given her or, if she's actually somebody else. And they keep repeating Renaissance woman and stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, how old is this character then?
Right.
And so I was kind of thinking if we actually have a character from Renaissance, and I'm like, what if, and they're digging into magic and like all the old stuff. I was thinking, and this is just me being a huge nerd, I was like, Morgan Le Fay would be fucking awesome.
Oh,
that'd be cool.
So, and I was like, Renaissance woman.
We
I'm like, back in the day. I know, it'd be cool. But that's just what I was thinking looking up. I thought it'd be kind of cool. But
that'd be nice. You saying Doom remind, the series finale was last week, right? So we don't have a Doom minute.
No, we do not.
Okay.
We do not.
Because
thank God.
Ages of S.H.I.E.L.D. is... He's not hiding down
God.
There.
No, he's not.
But those leggings are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. They're pants. They're pants. They're just jeans that I wear. Thank you.
Where are my Avengers leggings?
I'm excited. I think she's probably just the Beast of the Hand. I think she's been taken over by a demon. I don't know that they have the rights to Mephisto, which would be awesome if they did.
Or Morgan Le Fay, for that matter.
Or Morgan. That might be a Fantastic Four thing, but it could also be an Avengers thing.
It's a lesser-known character. You can kind of dig up these characters sometimes, and people
haven't... It's entirely possible that Morgan Le Fay went to someone like Lionsgate or Legend... Not
or
Legend,
Universal.
Universal.
They're more Universal Nero. It's like, they got Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah. So,
like, what can we do with
this? If they're already naming her something else, then they may not even necessarily ever say the name.
It's true.
Anyway,
they could just
I'm
not
excited.
Go there.
We're all excited for it.
Yes.
We're all excited. Because it's
Sigourney
Weaver.
Yes.
Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver.
It's Sigourney
Weaver.
Yes. Weaver.
And the trailer was so much fun.
Oh, so good. And August is...
right there.
It's so close.
It's right there. It's June.
2.5 months away.
Our next show is in June, guys.
Yeah.
Which means our 150th show will be like October.
That'll be my birthday. That's good. That's a good show number. Luke Cage Season 2 will explore public superhero problems. Mike Coulter, talking with the MCU Exchange, says it's something that we'll explore in The Defenders and hopefully in Season 2 of Cage, which will I start very soon. It's very different. He's out, and by out he means like people know he's a superhero. They know who he is. They know what he can do.
No costumes, no masks.
He's out. People know what he looks like. He's not in any kind of disguise. People know where he lives. They know where to find him, so it's something he has to deal with. Most superheroes don't have to deal with that and can keep it kind of separate. So it's really like we might actually start seeing heroes for hire with people coming to him saying, listen, I know what you can do. Here's like $1,000. Just please go take care of it.
Yeah.
And then there's the flip side of that, mistaken identity of other people that look like him and then somebody shooting them or something like that. Ooh. Be like, oh, no.
Oh.
You know, so.
I haven't thought of that.
Be like, I'm going to take down this Luke Cage guy. Be like, see, he's not indestructible. Oh, no. This is somebody else.
That's just Sam Johnson from down the street.
Yeah. But it's a definite thing.
That's
that
just Sam Jones. He lives down the street. Why'd you shoot Sam? He's a good guy.
How are you do that, Mr. Cage?
So I it's nothing big. But it is kind of, it just adds some nuance to the season.
And it gives an idea of what the flavor of the show is going to be. Season 2, escalation.
Yeah. Because Danny Rand, he's like a billionaire and he doesn't wear a mask. Yeah. So, you know, the only one that does is
also,
what?
He doesn't know
Murdoch.
Martial arts, which is weird.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, Daredevil's
nobody
so
also
much.
Wants to talk to him because he whines all the time.
Which is why Daredevil got the cool mask in the Defenders trailer. He's the only one that wears a mask.
Yep.
I like that Jessica Jones never bothered with one.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, this is
well,
me.
She was never really going after the whole superhero thing anyway.
That
if anything, she was absolutely denying her powers at every turn that she possibly could.
Very fair.
So,
yes, I'm still trying to get my mom to watch Jessica Jones.
Oh, I'm still trying to get Matt to my husband to watch all sorts of stuff. He's just like,
I'm still trying to get my parents to like comics.
For anyone who's actually interested, my mom loved Luke Cage. She also enjoyed Iron Fist. She did not enjoy the first episode of Jessica Jones.
Wait, I'm sorry.
All.
She didn't enjoy
she did not
Jessica Jones, but
enjoy
she enjoyed
the first
Iron
episode
Fist.
Of Jessica Jones. She is not much of a comic book person. She got me into comic books.
I don't
like
think you
certain
need to
ones.
Like comic books to know that
she
Iron
was never
kind of.
Yeah,
but
she was,
okay, I got it. No offense to your mother.
No offense
whatsoever.
No, I can state my opinion. Other people can state theirs.
Yes,
I know how I felt about Iron Fist and how she felt we connect on the things that we both enjoyed in that.
Excellent.
But the important thing is that even without Jessica Jones, she will be ready for Defenders.
Yes.
So Captain Marvel, now this is absolute total rumor. What I'm about to go into. Is total. I don't know where that voice came from.
Okay.
But
so you're confirming this.
Matt confirms.
Confirming
no,
this.
No, he didn't.
This is being confirmed.
You're both fools. No, I'm not.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.
Ronnie, Jerry.
We're not even on AfterBuzz TV right now.
Dr. Spyros Michalakis is a quantum physicist and staff researcher at California Institute of Technology. Why he's important is he is the science advisor for Marvel. So all the stuff that they did in Ant-Man, they went to him and asked him about it. All the stuff that they did in Doctor Strange, went to this guy and asked him about it. And he helps them essentially flesh out the science in a way that it's like a little true, but still like
fantasy. Fantastical.
Yeah. He said, this is exciting for the future, talking about the quantum verse and what they're doing with it in Marvel. He said, this is exciting for the future. There are different ways that some of these ideas appear on screen in a few years. Not just for Ant-Man, but also for Captain Marvel and all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which says to me that Marvel Studios has approached him and said, hey, so Captain Marvel, she can do this and this and this. What do you
science?
Got?
Science?
Yeah.
What do you got? So,
throw the science at me.
He goes on to talk about gravity, curvature of space-time, all this other stuff. Go look up the interview. It's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But MCU Exchange, again, this is the third time we're mentioning them. They've been on fire this last week. MCU Exchange came up with an idea that, all right, so the original Captain Marvel, the dude who came to Earth, the Kree alien who came to Earth to conquer it and then got to Earth and was like, wait, no, I'm not going to do that. These guys are actually pretty cool. I'm not doing it. He eventually got sort of a power up when he found these quantum bands and put them on, and all of a sudden he found that he could fly and he was super strength and all this other stuff. Captain Marvel, Kara Danvers, never had that. She was attacked by the Psyche Magnetron, and her DNA fused with the Kree DNA and created Captain Marvel. So the suggestion of the MCU exchange is that what's going to happen is they're going to treat her as Mar-Vell in some capacity. Not that she's Kree, but she finds quantum bands and is able to wield the quantum bands, and that those quantum bands are like this alien technology that can bend gravity around her so she can fly. And bending gravity around her also gives her the appearance of super strength and stuff, and she can affect the quantum reality around her to fire blasts from her wrists. I kind of hope that's not what they do. I want her to have alien DNA, but
powers of her own.
That sounds like something Marvel Studios would do. Also, because merchandising. They can sell the quantum
bands. Merchandising.
So, if they end up doing that and you didn't read it on MCU Exchange, you heard it here first. Do you guys have any opinions on that?
I'd prefer she has powers.
Well, you know, powers are always more fun. Yeah. Unless she builds the bands and then that's cool. Like she's got like a... she touches a Kree. I don't know how that is. She touches a Kree and all of a sudden, all of this knowledge, I can build.
I'd prefer a mixture too, where it's like there is a little bit of the alien aspect going on, and then we have the quantum bands and stuff, because I feel like it pulls more of the universe itself together. Because you're
Iron Man, I don't want her to put on some iron shackles and then have Iron Man powers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she can shoot repulsor rays fly and is really strong with these iron things around her wrists.
Yeah. Or she can be smart and build them herself.
I just feel like it's a little bit of a punch.
It's like, would Iron Man be as cool if he didn't, you know, build that out of spare parts in a cave?
Right. No. That's what makes his power is his mind. Like Tony Stark's power is his brain. Yeah. If you take away that, then he's
just a douchebag. Right.
So Captain Marvel needs to be something beyond something that's put on.
Totally agree. Yes. Totally agree.
Agreed.
I really do not want them to do the quantum band thing, and that's not confirmed. That is just like total, like, is the most speculative, like the scientist said something and this could be what they're doing. But the argument does hold water and it does make sense, and I was just like, oh no, please don't do the quantum bands.
I don't mind if they bring it in, it's just as long as it's not her soul thing.
The only way that I will allow that to work is if she slams her quantum bands together and trades places with Rick Jones in the negative zone.
What if she touches the Kree origin and she can't control it and the quantum bands help her focus?
That I would be on board for.
That way she has the power and she needs help with guiding it. And therefore it's a combination of her own strength and the strength of another.
I think we can all agree that we want her to touch a Kree, though.
There has to be a Kree.
That's my compromise. Merchandising and power.
Also, I want Ollie to be that Kree.
All right.
Oh.
Ollie, I want you to be the Kree.
You think so?
I want you to be the Kree that she touches to get her powers.
We're gonna spray paint you.
Can she like?
Okay. You are magical.
I don't want her to touch. Can she kiss me? Maybe.
Ooh, where?
That is too far.
All right.
No, too far.
Will Captain Marvel kiss you?
before we move on to our last couple stories, though, do we have anything in the live chat we need to address? Anyone saying anything fun, interesting, or
a few? I have two birthdays.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Longtime friend of the show, Motorola.
Oh, Motorola.
Motorola, happy birthday, good sir. And then also Jacob Wolf, live chat aficionado. It's his 21st birthday today.
Oh, wow.
Whoa! 21.
Happy birthday.
It's a big one.
Happy birthday.
If you're not drinking watching the show, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're all the way legal.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say for that.
Happy birthday, guys. That's great. Congratulations. Anything else before we move on? Well, I just want to make sure.
They do not want the bands. The chat does not want the bands.
They don't want the Xeno
Hour wants the alien DNA. Yeah. I agree, but I will still buy those bands regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as they're snap bands.
Oh my god. Oh, yeah. Snap bracelets.
Yeah.
Only if they're snap bands.
Yeah.
90s.
Scrack. Oh, let's go.
I have terms.
All right, let's move on real quick. Thor Ragnarok reveals Hulk's sleeping quarters in Sikar. He's sleeping in a giant jawbone.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm like, there's definitely some teeth there.
It is a giant jawbone of some beast he no doubt
killed himself.
Murdered.
Flayed,
perhaps.
Yes. And now he rests in its mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. Because what does that's that just what he say? Does.
Well, I mean, if it ever fell or anything, I mean, he'd be fine because he's the Hulk. So
he's the Hulk, whoever was in the bed with him would
die.
Yeah,
I'd be more worried about his bed partners.
Yeah.
Of which I'm sure there are many.
As if we're not already worried.
Hulk smash. Whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
It's a PG-13 rated show today.
Oh, sorry.
He took his pants off.
Yeah, you could say we're straddling the line here.
Hey-o!
I didn't start it. Please bring me back.
This looks ridiculous. And it looks very Kirby to me. It looks like Jack Kirby drew that jawbone.
Oh, it looks like Kirby meets the Flintstones.
It's very
Flintstones. All you want some wheels on it.
Yeah, all you want is for the waitress to come out with the giant ribs and put it on the side.
And then the bed falls over and Hulk's like so upset.
Oh.
It also looks a lot like a shoe.
I see that.
Those are the new
like
Yeezys.
Sandals, like Centurion sandals.
Kanye West shoes.
Yeah, the new Yeezys. Oh,
I just hope for the creature's sake that those are two different creatures, because if not, that jawbone goes out way further than
I think it's upside down.
It'd be like a super underbite.
Or massive overbite.
Yeah, one of those.
Massive overbite.
There's either some tremendous overbite or underbite going on.
Overbite would probably be easier. Underbite, you'd just be collecting flies, I think.
That beast definitely needed an orthodontist.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on real quick. Black Cat, Silver Sable movie. I believe the rumor right now is that it's being called Silver and Black, I think. The Silver Sable Black Cat movie is just kind of being referred to in shorthand as Silver and Black.
Sure.
They have
working title. That's
both
fine.
Colors.
They have found their writer and director in Gina Prince Bythewood, I believe is how you pronounce the last name. Mm-hmm. She is the writer director of Secret Life of Bees. I know she did a couple other movies and TV shows. I did not write them down. Secret Life of Bees, I thought was enough.
She's also an alumni writer for at Black Girl Nerds.
You can
see them on Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I don't know anything about her except that she got this job, and I think that's great.
Awesome.
Do you guys know anything about her?
Nope.
Except for that tidbit?
No?
I love Love and Basketball. She also wrote Love and Basketball.
Yeah?
Nice.
So have you... I never saw The Secret Life of Bees, Coy. Did you see The Secret Life of Bees?
I see a lot of movies, but not about bees.
Huh.
I did not see that one either.
But you saw Love and Basketball.
I did.
And it's good. You enjoyed it.
Great.
Okay.
Secret Life... Was that the one with the spelling bee?
The spelling bee?
I saw the trailer. It was a nice trailer.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we all have homework. We all need to go.
There are so many movies in the world.
There are.
So many.
And there's a lot of comics to read.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so far behind.
Pick your battles.
I'm an idiot. All right. So there's also, I didn't get this into the rundown before we printed it, but there's a new plot synopsis that's been leaked, I believe, by Screen Crush or something like that.
For
Silver and Black.
Ooh.
And
she got an Independent Spirit Award at Sundance for Love and Basketball. That's incredible.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, nice. That's like a huge Sundance Award.
That's
so
great.
I want to give her some cred.
Nice. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Going off of my memory for the synopsis, it's basically everything that we've already heard. Silver Sable's dad, I think, is murdered and she goes to avenge him.
Mm-hmm.
Kraven the Hunter was mentioned at some point, as was Chameleon. I think it's, because of the way it was written and all the characters that were listed, I was like, this seems a little made up to me, which is why I didn't include it. But all that being said, you be the judge. Go look it up. See what you think. I felt like it was made up, which is why I didn't put it in.
They do mention Jessica Drew. Spider-Woman might be
in. Spider-Woman might be in.
The Tarantula,
the
Scorpion.
So.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Other bugs.
Mm. Yeah.
This is a movie.
Sorry.
I like that.
This is 2 hours.
Yeah.
Other bugs.
Just, no.
Yeah, I know. I know, dude, I know.
Which would make sense. You know how much she did the B movie, so she knows her bugs.
Hey!
Hey-o!
Goodness.
My mom just corrected us. Secret Life of Bees was great. It's not about a spelling bee.
Oh, okay.
There was a spelling bee.
Michaela and the Bee or something?
Yeah, there was
I'm thinking of that one.
Wasn't it an anime?
I saw the
Akila and the Bee.
Akila and the Bee. Yeah, I saw the trailer of that, and that little girl looked adorable.
Yeah, that looked real cute.
Yeah, so what's Secret Life of Bees?
It was animated, wasn't it?
Is that the one?
I'm wrong? Wow, okay, no.
Is that the one with Seinfeld?
No idea.
No, that was the B movie.
Queen Latifah was in Secret Life.
Yeah, with Dakota Fanning, I
believe. With Dakota Fanning.
Okay.
Someone tell us about this. It's still a secret to us.
I heard it was really good.
I'm the worst.
And, yeah. I think the director's great. I don't know about the story, but...
Yeah, I don't know anything about any of it, so...
I just don't want them to waste... Like, okay, Chameleon could be an incredible character in a movie. Don't waste him. He's also, like, the first Spider-Man villain. Kraven, everyone's wanted for years. Don't put him in a movie that's like a side project.
Yeah.
The Spider-Woman, the newest run of Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew, the comic is some of the best Spider-Woman's ever been. Spider-Woman right now is at the peak of, like, she just had a baby. It's this incredible story about, like, trying to be both a mother and a hero mother. Like, it's so good and so smart and so, like, important. Don't make her a side character in a movie that no one's, I just don't waste these important characters. It's a shame. Don't hurt me like this.
Well, it depends. Let's see what the script is. It might not be a waste.
Characters?
Wait. That's
sorry, I haven't seen that poster.
That's rumored. That is a rumor.
Yeah, that's all rumored. And it's like, maybe they would shine more in something than if they were crammed into a Spider-Man movie. So this might be a different way to highlight it. It's, you know, this writer did Secret Life of Bees, which I need to see. Mm-hmm. You know, she did Love and Basketball, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I'd love to see this different perspective for these characters. She's very much a nerd because I've read some of her articles on Black Girl Nerds.
Nice.
So yeah, I'll look them up. So yeah, I'm
that's
open.
Actually really cool to know I'm that open. She wrote for that because that I will go look some of her articles up. Yeah. That sounds great.
If Spider-Woman's like a stand-in for Spider-Man, like, and it's like a female-driven superhero, that'd be really cool. Like, if Spider-Woman's part, because she's a really cool character that's not written well usually.
Well, also, if actual Spider-Man's in there, that's going to create some weird stuff with Black Cat, isn't
especially
it?
Especially how young Black Cat, I mean, how young Tom Holland is.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be a really weird thing to do.
So, it might be a little strange. Yeah. So, I think
set it up
we keep him
future,
out of it.
If we can have Black Cat be utilized now and then planned later in the future, like Spider-Man 5, that could be exciting. I don't know. I'm worried.
I've already gone on record saying that I just don't trust this side universe that Sony's creating with Venom and Silver Sable. And Black. Like, I don't trust it yet. You haven't earned my trust yet, Sony. I know you're watching, Sony, the entity that is Sony.
Or at least the interns.
Hi, Sony interns.
I hope they're feeding you well.
Yeah, they better be. They better feed you well. All right. Last story, big story. New Spider-Man Homecoming trailer.
What?
Did we all see it? Yeah? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the best trailer that they've done.
Oh, yeah.
I like that it doesn't give as much as the... Yes, right?
It has a lot in it, but... Yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
Can we actually watch it, Ronnie?
Yeah, give it a nice countdown. Stand by, I'm grabbing it right now.
Ah.
All right.
So amp it up for me, please.
So this is one of my favorites, and here's why it was a favorite for me.
Okay.
They captured the tone. That's all I needed to see for this movie. I know who Spider-Man is. I know who the villains are.
Yeah.
As a Marvel fan, I just need to see that they got the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Like and I've seen it in other film or other trailers here and there. This one, full on. He's in high school. Here's what he's dealing with. You know, just all that stuff across the board. I love. What about you guys? Before we watch it, while we're waiting for it to download.
Well, I think it says a lot that all of us were pretty adamant about not viewing any other trailers or anything after the
last
one.
Don't give away anything else.
But it seems like we're unanimous on agreeing that we really enjoyed this. So that says a lot for it already.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Coy?
I think it's really nice that they didn't not only reveal anything new, but they also gave like alternate takes on scenes we'd already seen, like the Tony Stark scene. Everyone's saying it's like all Tony, but like it makes sense to put the guy that's selling enough movies to buy islands with on the front of your ad campaign.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to have Tony Stark in those scenes. I don't think he's in as much of the movies as in the trailers would make sense, but the scenes he's in having alternate takes so we get to have the fun of Robert Downey Jr. without overwhelming us was perfect. The tone was great. It felt like Spider-Man, and like every minute we see more Tom Holland as Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. You got to see a lot more of Tom Holland's character, which I really enjoyed. Like his dealing with his friends and, you know, just life in general and trying to deal with being Spider-Man and, you know, a teenager, obviously, and dealing with Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
There was just enough Tony in there for me. If they put any more, I would have been a little upset because the last one, I was just like, too much Tony. Sorry. But I don't mind if he pops in the beginning. I don't mind if he pops in the end for maybe an assist or something like that. But I really don't want to to see anymore, Tony. I want to see Spider-Man. Yeah. I'm so sold on this Tom Holland Spider-Man that totally I agree. Really, really, really want to watch it and experience this character.
You saw the lip sync battle, right?
Oh, my God. That was amazing. I got that through your Twitter, and thank you. Thank you. Because that changed my life. I was like, I'm in love.
That's the best trailer, actually.
Yes.
The lip sync battle is the best trailer.
You'll be totally sold on Tom Holland after that.
Ronnie Roney, how are we looking? Can we watch it?
Oh, yes.
Finally, here we go.
Good evening, Peter.
Whoa.
You have 576 possible web shooter combinations.
That is awesome.
Exciting ramifications for Spider-Man.
Yeah. That reminded me of the GameCube game. When it's like, I can't remember all the combinations.
Retreat.
What, next
there's
mission?
So much like, you can do with weapons.
Right.
Right.
It's not a hug, but I'm just grabbing the door for you.
That's still a funny beat to me.
Yeah, I like that one.
I've seen it 1,000 times. It's still
I'm
funny.
Still going to laugh.
And then wheeling away.
And I like this song. Like, I think the song is dead on.
I got the Stark internship.
What's up, guys?
And I love the Stark internship.
For tonight. I stopped the Grand Theft bicycle. Hey, could you do me a favor? Hold on to that. Is this anybody's bike?
I love that he doesn't know how to be a hero at all. He's like, I did a thing.
That was nice.
Churros are good.
Riding on the train. Oh, so
you guys
good.
Aren't the real Avengers. Hulk gives it away.
New move I'm working
the
on.
The slight extension of the scene totally works for me.
Yeah, totally works. Yeah. We see the weapon. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I like seeing the weapon because you see what he's actually dealing with aside from just like, you know, flying guys.
Weapon escalation. Yeah.
Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man?
Yes.
Now, this throws me off because I don't know where in the movie this ends up happening. Like,
well, he still has that suit on, and it hasn't been taken away.
Yeah,
no,
so
that's
I'm guessing
what I'm
pretty
so
early
like,
on.
Is that early on? And if so, how does the Vulture know? But like, how does that like
this scene?
Yeah,
Donald Glover.
Yeah,
who's intimidating? Did I not?
Oh,
no,
we don't know yet.
We don't. Okay, he's checking.
Yeah, my friends up there.
I always assume everybody knows more than me.
I love the scene of him running. Like he did the homecoming dance. Like I love that.
What are you hiding,
Peter?
Spider-Man! Just kidding, I don't care.
That makes me like her more.
There's a ton of other subsystems in here, but they're all disabled by the training wheels protocol.
I'm sick of Mr. Stark treating me like a kid.
But you are a kid.
Yeah, a kid who can stop a bus with his bare hands.
Fair point. Tony can't do that out of suit.
Yay.
This, to me, is the best trailer they've put out.
Period.
Period. Yeah. Like the last trailer gave away so much about the suit, the training wheels protocol. Like, well, not the training wheel, but, like, him taking it away, all that stuff. But what I like about this trailer is that, like, I had constructed a movie in my head, and this movie kind of challenged that.
It just, separated.
In a way that now I'm like, actually, maybe I actually don't know what happened. Like, maybe I don't. Ooh. Like, I was pretty sure. It was like, here's the suit. You're awesome. He splits that the fairy in half. He gets the suit taken away. Then he's got to fight. But the fact that the Vulture's like getting him while he has a suit is like, oh whoa! I actually don't think I know how this movie goes unless he gets the suit at the back at the very end. Whatever. So
like he earns it back.
Like he earns it back, and like we know he does.
Yeah, he's gotta earn it back, him and Iron Man are like flying. You know, together. Well, so like, you know what I mean. He's swinging.
Yeah. But like just story wise, he's gonna earn the suit back. Like that's gonna be one of his big goals. Like you have the suit taken away, he's gotta earn it back. Like if he doesn't earn it back, it's like, oh poor Spider-Man, he's stuck in his jammies. Like you know, so
still good, but anyway, the suit helps.
You guys, if I may, as the non comic book person, but I love this show so much.
Yeah.
Dude, that looked pretty cool. Like, it might be because I've been listening to you guys for the past couple of weeks, but also, like, the texture of this adventure that we're about to go on. And I don't know too much of the other Spider-Man, you know, as far as to, like, compare them. But I was into it. I think this little kid, this Tom, what's his name?
This Tom Holland. Yeah.
He's a little star, and I saw him on that lip sync thing, too. He's these ham and cheese. Yep, yep.
Yeah, this guy is
perfect.
Going places.
Yeah. So I'm in. I want to go see that movie.
Ham and cheese.
It gave us the tone. It gave us a little bit more story. It gave us alternate takes. It made us laugh. It reminded us why we wanted to see the movie, and it didn't give anything away. Mm-hmm. The best way to have a trailer is to do those things, and it was perfect.
They probably learn from their mistakes from the last trailer, like without a doubt.
If that was trailer 2 and they didn't have a trailer 3,
done. Exactly. Perfect. Yeah. Absolutely agree. So we've seen it now. Like we've got the refresh in our heads. What are we thinking? Do you have anything you want to add? Like like the Pure suit, awesome. The well, I mean, do you have anything? Like, I'm just like, I just want to make sure that we all say what we want to say. Donald Glover, by the way.
Yes. That's what matters.
I was not expecting, like, when I was like, there's a new trailer, this will be fun. Hey, there's Donald Glover. He's speaking. Who is he?
Like, he says two lines, and I'm like, tell me everything about that character.
He says it in a way where it's like, I've seen you with the bad guys, and now I see you with the good guy, and you seem to be giving advice to the good guy. Like, is it sarcastic advice? Like, are you like...
It felt dry. It felt like, you gotta get better at this guy. Like, come on. What are you doing?
Like, what are you doing? Like, you're... What are you doing?
It's like, was he the Tinker's... like intern, and he's like, yeah. He's like, oh well, you know, I just want to learn.
I want him to be the Prowler so bad. Oh, I want him to be the Prowler so bad. I think it would be so good. It'd
especially be so because the Prowler in comics now is such a good guy. Mm-hmm. Like, Prowler has a great arc where he's just a desperate guy. He's not a bad guy. He's desperate. Mm-hmm. Donald Glover should be the lead of a universe. The only way I'm in a Prowlerverse is if Donald Glover's Prowlerverse. Give me all of this.
We've got a new poster that, you know, just crams everything in the world.
Yeah,
that sure poster does. Is so silly. We didn't mention the animated poster, solid. For the animated movie, for the Miles Morales movie. This poster, opposite.
Yeah.
I like the subtlety of the animated poster. This poster is literally like, what if you were reminded of Star Wars, but in all the worst ways, and the X-Men Days of Future Past farting Xavier poster. Remember that?
Oh, so you're not enjoying this poster.
I'm not enjoying this poster.
It's got two vultures. For our iTunes people, the poster has like a giant Spider-Man up in left hand corner and a giant Tony Stark
on fire.
Sans Iron Man. Yeah, there's sparks happening, and then there's Tom Holland looking forlorn between the two of them, and then we've got a mixture of
not very Spider-Man, different, but, all right.
Yeah, different characters, including a flying Iron Man. Is that Zendaya?
Yeah, Zendaya's in there.
Yeah. Zendaya's Michelle, yeah. It's very busy.
I think Liz Allen on the,
on the far right.
And then you've got Michael Keaton, sans vulture outfit, you know, glaring out of the poster.
Yeah.
And it's the backdrop is New York.
Two Iron Mans, two Spider-Mans, two vultures, supporting characters, and Happy Hogan's there. Funsies.
Are we Hogan?
Hogan's at the bottom next to the Washington Monument. There's so much in this poster.
Can we have any more?
It's just silly.
Yeah.
Maybe that ripped in half fairy.
Twitter had fun with it and was adding like 1,000 more characters to it. It was fun.
I could have done without the flying Iron Man. That was an interesting ad. Could have done without the poster.
Like, yeah, why?
We have 1,000 other posters. Like, why do we need a new one?
Is he really in?
The best Spider-Man poster of all time is for the worst Spider-Man movie. Amazing Spider-Man 2 had a poster that's literally a reimagining of Amazing Spider-Man 121, where it's literally the yellow comic book cover where Gwen Stacy dies, and they put the actors in the spot of the comic. Mm-hmm. It's almost like there's source material for these sort of things. It's almost like art is a medium in which you can make posters from. Perhaps read comics and make posters, guys.
So one of the other things I loved is that he said Stark internship.
Yes. Like, that's a good excuse.
Such a quick, easy, like, I've got that Stark internship. Like, and what that says to me is one of my favorite things about Spider-Man, and one of the things that makes him Spider-Man to me is he has to deal with everyday life, like school life. Like, and we say this about a lot of characters, but like, he's actually in school. Like, if an emergency happens and he's in the middle of algebra class taking a test, he's like, how do I get out of here?
Yeah.
And like the Stark internship,
time for Christmas tree.
Excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom.
Like the Stark internship is an immediate answer to that. Of how often does he have to say Stark internship? Like I want to hear him say that 100 times. Sorry, I've got the Stark internship. Like because that means people are after him. Like where are you going all the time? And that is a problem for him. You know. So I love that 576 web combinations. That's awesome. Like the webbing is like.
No, that's just like was it the PlayStation game with it where you had to find those little spider X tokens,
circle, triangle,
they were everywhere, and then and then you had to unlock the combinations. They gave you like a little graphic of what he would actually do. You'd be like, oh, that's cool, and then you're flying around the city, and you're like, I can't do that.
I can't do it.
It's not happening. So now he's just doing the same ones over and over again.
He's super smart, but do you think that maybe even the outfit's a little bit too much for him at times?
Oh yeah, he's gonna be learning the whole time.
And like he just like reaches out for something. And then suddenly something flies out of his hand, like
the parachute thing in the second trailer.
He knew that was there. Thank God.
I just love that, like in the comics, you've got like impact webbing, you've got like all these like you've got web parachutes, you've got all these things that Spider-Man gets to learn now, and that makes more sense to me. I love that open because it gives you exposition without being too much. Like, this universe is so good.
So one final thing before we move on, I love the bike part. The bike part, and him riding the subway is so tonally personality character Spider-Man. Like where he's like, he doesn't know what to do with his. He just stopped a bike thief. He's got the bike. He doesn't know what to do with it except is this anyone's bike? Yeah. This bike? Like, I don't know.
He doesn't know how to be a hero yet. It's perfect.
Yeah. I love it. I love this trailer. Like, erase the second one. Him losing the suit. That doesn't exist in my head anymore.
Yeah. 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Roughly.
And if anybody has not had a churro, please treat yourself.
That. Yeah. And we have Wonder Woman delicious. On the way to Spider-Man. Like, we've got a great movie.
Oh, my God. Wonder Woman.
Friday. And then we've got 3 weeks. Yeah. And then Spider-Man.
Cannot wait. All the reviews for that are just like, oh, my God, this movie.
Defenders. Thank God.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's going to be a good summer.
Need a win, man. Need a win.
Yeah. Well, the box office is... anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
Different show, but also a problem.
Yes.
Different show, but also problematic. All right. With our last... remaining minutes, Marquia, why don't you take us on a wonderful tour of Mary Marvel Lightland?
Absolutely. And in fact, our first order of business is that you went to a Guardians of the
Galaxy.
Oh,
that's
Galaxy. Right.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad that I put that note in there because I completely forgot about it.
I
got excited about Spider-Man. my lovely wife Brittany and I got to go thanks to her boss because he bought the tickets and he's a nice guy. We got to go to the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. Event that they had on Friday night where it was like only it was open from 6 to I think like midnight or 6 to 1 or something like that.
Okay.
Only for people who paid to go to that ride. Like that's all, like we had wristbands, all this stuff. And we got to ride the ride a couple times because like there was only like 2,000 people there.
How was it?
It's all right, so here's it.
Basically Tower of Terror?
It's
I love Tower
it's
of
better
Terror.
Than, it's better in my opinion it's better than Tower of Terror as a ride because they rearranged it in some way.
Oh, good.
Where like Tower of Terror, like it's like, oh, you're going up.
Oh, no, you're not.
And now you're falling. Now you're beginning. Now you're falling. Like this ride is just like it immediately starts with a yo-yo.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's all like Rocket is trying to save the other Guardians, and he's using the humans on the elevator lift to do that. It's a fun ride. It's a very very fun ride. But they have in the queue line Cosmo the dog. Is there.
Cosmo!
Which immediately made me think of you two guys because of our movie fight.
Is he animatronic? Like, is he like...
Please tell me he talks.
A little bit. Like, he kind of
He has
looks.
A Russian accent?
He does not. He does not. He doesn't talk. Here's the deal.
Swing and a miss.
I also think that I think they rushed to open this by the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
I think they're probably going to be adding more things. Stuff to
like
it.
Like a Russian accent.
Like, they better. They
better. Dolph Lundgren.
But here's the deal. At the end of the
Dolph
ride...
Dolph Lundgren Cosmo.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the ride...
I think we broke April.
Yeah, sorry. We did.
It was very exciting.
At the end of the ride, when the Guardians have all been freed and like, yay, you win! Like, it's not a spoiler. Like, you know that's what happens. Cosmo's there. And that, to me, is like, oh my God, James Gunn... is hinting to all of us that Cosmo's going to be in the third movie.
Right,
like,
I was sad he wasn't in the second.
I know, so was I. Like, we saw him briefly in the first.
He wasn't in the second at all?
He was in the end credits in
he
the second.
He was in the end credits, yeah.
So James Gunn is still like, hey, there's this dog with a space helmet CCCP on it. But I really... God, I'm crossing my fingers so hard for him to be in the third movie and to see him and Rocket yelling at each other and hating each other like they do
Although
in the comics.
They've been showing Howard the Duck just as much as they've been showing Cosmo, and I honestly
I think Howard the Duck
it.
Will probably be on more, too. In the Cosmo cage, so when you go to Disneyland and you're walking through this queue line, there's a little bitty like dog chew toy that is a raccoon, and it's like ripped
That's
apart
cute.
Because Rocket and Cosmo hate each
they
other.
Don't
so look
like
for that.
Along.
They also have Adam Warlock's cocoon in there. Like it's a fun cue line.
Okay. Wait, pre or post Adam? Like, is it broken out of or
no?
Is it just...
No, it's okay. not. It's not actually Adam Warlock.
I was just wondering.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's the,
so you
it's
can't
the...
like put a hand against it. And it feels like it's breathing.
No, it's in a
it's
glass
Disney,
cage.
Maybe?
It's in a glass cage.
Yeah.
Like same as Cosmo.
Like the collector.
Glass cage. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's great. It's super fun. We had a good time. And you should go. Oh, also, I think that they're like building a new Avengers ride there too.
Oh.
Like there's like some weird
I think they're making
like this weird hatch thing and yeah.
I think they're making the whole downtown area that's like that Hollywoodland area. I think they're making it all Marvel.
I think they're turning it into Marvel Land.
Yeah.
So
which I'm fine with. I mean, I like the, you know, the Hollywood.
All of you
Hollywood.
Fans who do not live in Southern California, start saving up to fly to Southern California in 2020 when Avengers Land is no doubt. All over the place.
Yes.
I will finally get a Disney pass.
Yeah.
Right here.
I swear to God, if they have a Sanctum Sanctorum, that is where I will
give
live.
Give me a call because I have one. So.
All right. Sorry. Go. Please take us through Mary Marvel.
Shout outs. Teresa Luz at Teresa Fortes Luz. Nathan Ramirez at Ramirez Nathan 77. Paul Sparks at Born to Plod 999. Tim Chapman at Chim _Tapman. Max Russell at Max Russell 66. Evan at Harris
EV9, JJ Lang at JJ Lang tweeted, and Glorious Greg at XGHealy929.
Wait, I'm shout sorry, his name is Glorious Greg, Glorious and then he Greg. Went with something else for his handle?
XGHealy.
XGHealys.
With an IE. Shout out to Michael Blade at Michael B. Ryder. Hey guys, today's my B-Day and I would love a sexy shout out.
Uh-oh, Koi, you're up.
Yep. Better be Marilyn Monroe. Get into it.
Michael Blade.
Uh-oh, here it goes, sugar.
Just how big is that blade? Happy birthday.
I really wanted you to go Marilyn Monroe with
just
it, man.
Just enough information.
J-E-I.
This is becoming my favorite part of the show.
It was much dirtier, and I had to pull it back the last second. I'm the kid's show. I talk about Spider-Man.
Koi broke himself.
I have to admit, I love Markia joining in like, oh, say it now.
It's a group effort now, really.
It really is.
All
right. Happy birthday, Michael Blade. Oh, he has a question there.
Yes. I'm going to paraphrase here. For just Marvel TV and film, he's like, should they think more about what the fans want?
In terms of working together.
Concentrate on what the fans want. Yeah.
Well, always.
I think that ideally they would, but the schedules for making a movie and making a TV show are so wildly different. It's hard to coordinate that.
Yeah, it's so much. By the moving parts.
Yeah, like TV moves at a very fast rate. Films move at a glacial. Like, the stuff that we're going to see in Avengers Infinity War was written 4 years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then we have to think that...
And reshoots.
Yeah.
You know, TV tends to have different acting styles, too, with it. I mean, you can get away with things in TV that just don't translate very well for movies, you know, and vice versa. It might be just a little bit too slow, a little bit too plotty, you know, than what it would be for TV, where you have, like, that little half hour, that 45 minutes, and then, plus commercials, an hour.
Yeah,
they get you those commercials.
I don't think it's so much a matter of like giving the fans what the fans want. I think they would love to be able to do that. I just think that the coordination of those two things is so immense that it's borderline impossible.
They know we want to see Charlie Cox as Daredevil. They also want us to see Daredevil in the movies, but it's just like there's so many, like these are actors that work for 6 months of the year in a show. They probably aren't around for the 3 month shoot. Like, it's just like there's a lot.
That on top of, like, what about the millions of fans who have never seen any of the Netflix shows?
Right.
Like, just because you've watched the Netflix shows, like, you're more in the minority than I think anyone realizes. Like, we all love those shows.
Right.
But
I always forget that a large portion of the population lives under a rock.
It's just different. Yeah. We're like in California. We're exposed to a lot more.
We are exposed to a lot more.
And we're aware of the entertainment industry in a very different way. Like,
we're in
a weird
bubble
here.
Figures.
Yeah, like, we know stuff that other people wouldn't find interesting.
We are.
So,
it's like, there's no way my mom would have watched any of those Netflix shows if prodding I hadn't been like, hey, you need to watch this.
I know, I need to do that to my mom, too. Yeah. I need to be like, watch these, you'll love it.
Like, I think at most what we'd be able to get is like an Easter egg with Daredevil like in the background. And if you know who it is, they're cool. That person is. But like, I don't think that they could ever make a plot point around it because it's like, well, now the movie has to explain who he is on top of what are quantum bands and how does Captain Marvel do that and where's her creed? Like, like on top of all of that, now you're also throwing in, oh, here's Daredevil. He also has 2.5 seasons of information to get through. Like,
I'd rather have character development.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
Ashley Hutchins. I think I got that right this time. At Ashley Hutchins. If Doctor Doom is in Avengers 4, could this mean Secret Wars is not far behind?
Oh my God. That would be the greatest thing of all time. But
that's a huge if.
That's a lot.
That's like... Yeah, it's Infinity like if we get Doctor Doom, we might as well get Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
You know?
You're wrong. No. You're wrong. You're
I'm
so
sorry,
wrong.
I can't agree with Keanu
Doug Jones didn't get
there's no screen,
he's just too zen. He's too zen
for Keanu. Like, Keanu could play it. I just want to see Keanu.
You're saying Keanu's not zen?
No, Keanu could play it.
He's my John Wick now.
His name is Wind Over the Mountains.
Yeah, but
he is made of zen.
He's my John Wick.
I
agree with
you,
Koi. I agree with
you, Koi.
2-2. I'll take the time.
I think before John Wick, he was awesome for it, but like now, I want a different actor to go there. Okay, so Charles Lee at @GoofyFan_Chuck, when #Disneyland updates their Marvel section, which heroes or villains should get their own attraction?
Doctor Strange.
Yes, Doctor Strange. I think we all agree on Doctor Strange for that one. It would be a fantastic roller coaster that leaves the tracks and flies into another section of the park.
Yep. You all of a sudden appear in actual Disneyland. So.
There you go.
Brian, Space Mountain. How'd we get here? Sorry.
Brian Trotter, 40 at Some Geek. What do you think the mysterious hatch is at the Guardians of the Galaxy ride at Disneyland?
I don't know. The implication that a few people have said is that it's a hint for what is coming in terms of a new Avengers roller coaster, which has been kind of rumored for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a Spider-Man ride could also be great, like the one in Universal Florida.
Yeah,
I would love like an interactive like web swing.
Yeah, but that's
experience.
I don't. Yeah,
we don't even know like Universal. What the rights are. Look like. Yeah,
that's Universal, right?
Sony has the half rights.
Yeah,
they share. Sony has all the rights. They share it with Marvel.
And Universal,
but Sony doesn't have a park.
Universal has comic book rights. So if they've appeared in the comic book, they can use any of those designs. But the second, like if it's MCU, Disney can use those designs.
That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very specific.
It's a tightrope. So, yeah. Jonathan Peck at JPack1098. Do you think that the New Mutants film will be R-rated?
I want it to be, personally.
It is a horror, but you can do horror with PG-13, and it can be done successfully.
The Conjuring is terrifying, and it's PG-13, if I remember correctly.
Well, I mean, it's like, basically, you can go violence or nudity, but not both, but it's like, they can get away with a lot of PG-13 violence.
It's true.
I think it'll be
because it's psychological violence.
It's in your head. It's not bloody. Bloody is what makes it R because Americans are weird. And there's no boobs, so it's fine.
Americans are weird.
Yeah, like we're weird about blood and nudity, but not
blood
about
and
violence.
Boobs. Yeah, blood and boobs together. Oh God,
no.
All right, Marquia, I hate to push, but I'm getting the signal that we need to hurry up and sign off. So
okay, so do you want to skip some questions, or
we can come back to those questions next week? Are there any pictures that we want to show? Or
sure, let's go to comments and pics. DW Jacques, Darren,
mm-hmm.
Such a blast as always hanging with this crew. They are the best. Truly honored to get an opportunity to hang with these wonderful, awesome folk talking about cool nerd things. Thank you, Eric Savio. You guys are the prime example of a class act. Another shining reason why I tune in each week. Thank you,
Eric.
And then we got a thank you from Cole Canaletti at Cole_Canaletti. Thanks for the card.
Aw, you got it!
Because he was a runner-up in the fan art that we did. And he has the card. It was the Silver Surfer versus Galactus. And he has Hulk holding the card.
Nice. That's awesome.
You see that in the thing. And then Fina Ortiz at F3 Ortiz, trying to help Thor at Comic-Con. Guess I'm not worthy.
Oh, yeah, we have that.
This image 33?
Yeah, there he is, trying to lift. Yeah, trying to lift. You're not worthy, man. You gotta keep trying, though.
Yeah.
Keep trying to be worthy. You'll get there.
Okay, Ray Palmer at Up in Atom.
Oh, nice.
By the way, I forgot to show y'all this Luke Cage with his tiny Iron Fist daughter.
I saw that one.
Yeah, Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
That's adorable.
And it's so cute. This guy is ripped.
Yeah.
Like, he's a ripped
beyond.
He's a ripped Luke Cage. And then his sweet little tiny daughter. And I love that both of them are wearing shoes that mean business. Yeah. That means superhero business.
Yes.
Mike Coulter's going to be after that guy. Be like, hey, you can't take my job, buddy.
They are adorbs. I want to see their TV show.
I hope the mom was Jessica Jones.
Yeah. That would be pretty amazing.
That'd be rad.
And then our last picture, this is from Blackbeard at Jobius3000. Last show, he did a quick doodle of the crew while watching, and he's like, love this show. And it's us. It was the three of us plus Doom. And
from last week's show.
And he did a quick doodle.
And
it has Doom thinking about...
it's the two of us thinking about Ghost Rider. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thinking about Ghost Rider. I'm thinking about Black Panther, of course. And I'm so excited, I stood up. And then Koi's doing a tap, tap, tap on his computer while he's thinking about Venom.
Just waiting for Venom. Just waiting for Venom, guys.
It's adorbs.
And Jobius was our contest winner. And his package is on the way, but he lives overseas. So it's going to take some time to get there, Sarah, because I'm not rich.
But just keep waiting. It'll get there.
Right. It'll get there. I promise. That's awesome. Anyone else? We good?
Yeah, that's good.
Great. Thank you, Marquia. Mm-hmm. That's our show. Thanks for sticking with us. I know it was a little bit of a long one today, but we had a lot of we wanted to talk about and get through. Ollie, where can we find you?
You can find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
24-year-old. Marquia?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Marquia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMcCarty. Also, find me on AfterBuzz TV, the sister network to Popcorn Talk. I do Monday nights. I do WWE Raw after show with Johnny LaQuasto. And that is 8:30. It's supposed to be 8. It's 8:30 that we do that on Mondays.
Coy? You can find me at COYJANDREAU on Twitter and Instagram, and send me suggestions for stuff I want to review because I need content.
Great. April?
At April Wallin on all social media platforms or aprilwallin.com. I do a podcast called One More Drink, which is a lot of fun on iTunes. And I have a book out called 13 Offerings on Amazon.
Great. My name is Matt Key, at the Matt Key on Twitter. You can find me on the Wednesday Club over at Geek and Sundry's Twitch channel on Wednesdays, and Screen Junkies News on Thursdays and Fridays, and Tuesdays here. Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.